Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Is Tech News Today for Tuesday, September 6, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For free trial and 10% off your new account for 6 whole months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT9. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zakhtar.
I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with all of you and try to make some sense of it all. Tom Merritt is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. We have someone even better.
The other Tom Merritt.
Yeah. Well, Tom Merritt's doppelganger, Tom Mark Turpin. Merritt.
Yeah.
All the way from across the pond. Hey, Terpster.
Hey, how's it going? Have you had a nice week with your day off?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? One of the best things about having a 3-day weekend is not only do you have the 3-day weekend, but then the following week is short.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you get, well,
it's like a double win.
Yes. Yeah. We try to tell
ourselves. What does it mean? Who knows?
No, it's
crazy.
Yeah, it's a real riddle. Well, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Well, we always like having you. I know Joanna Stern is going to be pretty bummed.
She was a little bummed. She couldn't make it. I did extend the offer.
Oh, good.
She has first right of refusal.
So,
when
for any for anyone who may be up in arms that Joanna Stern and Terpster aren't on the same show, we did try.
She'll be on soon,
not
though.
Hard enough.
Exactly. Not hard enough. Next time, we'll make it happen. Yeah. All right, so top story is probably something that isn't too surprising, although they didn't end up beating the Department of Justice to it. Sprint has decided to sue to stop AT&T from buying T-Mobile.
Yeah, they're suing under the Clayton Act, which gives Sprint a private right of action, so they can sue and try to stop this kind of transaction. And Sprint's using some nice words, saying like AT&T and the T-Mobile deal will be brazenly anti-competitive, and transaction is a classic violation of antitrust merger law that would leave, this is a great one, a swath of victims in its wake.
Ooh, sounds painful.
Yeah. I just think that, there's something called greed. I mean, AT&T, it's already got two T's, and now they want a third T?
Right.
I just say no to that. I'm the T, and that's enough. You only need the one T. I'll let them have T and T, but T and T and T mobile, it would just be stupid. It becomes ridiculous. You get in a series where people just think you've just, got a sticky key or something. Your T's a bit rubbish. Not
Sprint
sure about that.
Sprint also says the duopoly between AT&T and Verizon would end up controlling more than 3/4 of the market, 90% of the profits. So they certainly have a point there, although it's funny how Sprint is in this nice position where they can claim, listen, we've just got to think about the people, the customers. We're not going to screw up the American marketplace like this. But they also, this is in their best interest as well. And they're lucky enough that they're not the ones who sued first. The DOJ already sued, so they're in a pretty good position, I think, because they're like, look, the government doesn't think this is a good idea, and now we don't either.
Yeah, they've been pretty vocal from the beginning of this. When we first heard about this, they've been a little up in arms, and AT&T, of course, has their response, which is another great one. This simply demonstrates what we've said all along. Sprint is more interested in protecting itself than it is in promoting competition that benefits consumers. And that's what AT&T said about Sprint trying to stop the merger.
AT&T says a lot. Doesn't it?
Fortunately,
they can, though. They've got really good call plans, so they can just talk and talk and talk. So, that's one of the benefits of being, your own carrier. So,
yeah, you can just kind of say all sorts of stuff.
Maybe if I change my Twitter handle to just like the_ and sold AT&T my tea, maybe then they wouldn't want T-Mobile's tea, and then everyone wins.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be just fine with them. That's a really good idea.
Would you also request $39 billion, or would you take
that? There or thereabouts, I got to then call myself Erpster, which sounds like you've just... Erpster, sorry, just got a bit of gas. Erpster, it's not the same. So, 39, you're saying, I'd go for just an even billion. I'll just keep it, I don't want to come across greedy.
So the money issue, obviously, it's $39 billion that AT&T wants to spend on T-Mobile should the acquisition go through. But now at issue is this whole breakup fee. Okay, let's say for whatever reason AT&T is not allowed to buy T-Mobile. Both AT&T and T-Mobile want this to happen. There's a $6 billion breakup fee. It's cash and assets in spectrum that both AT&T thinks it should not have to pay and T-Mobile thinks they have a right to get.
Yeah, over the weekend, there were reports saying that Deutsche Telekom wouldn't get the breakup fee if the government intervened. And then Deutsche Telekom today was saying, no, we're entitled to that breakup fee even if the government intervenes. So, of course, they want to get the $6 billion if this doesn't go through, because this is, for T-Mobile, they have to pretend as if they're going to continue to exist, even though they don't want to. They'd rather take the $39 billion over the six any day. So,
But T-Mobile can't just lay down and die either, because that's one of the loopholes that AT&T has said. Listen, if T-Mobile goes under a certain valuation, you know, or perceived valuation of the future, then we could get out of this whole breakup fee because we want to buy them based on the strength of the company that's already there. So T-Mobile is in sort of this weird position where they've been trying to seem as weak as possible in order for this acquisition to go through, but they can't just stop trying.
Yeah, full terms of the deal of what gives Deutsche Telekom the breakup fee aren't fully known.
Right.
So we get to hear little bits of these things trickling out as they are squabbling over billions of dollars.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to make of all of this. It doesn't look good for AT&T. I mean, I'm sure they won't go down without a fight, obviously, because they don't have to pay all this money. But it is an interesting turn of events, considering that when we all first heard about this, we went, well, this is kind of iffy. But these sorts of things don't really get shut down by the DOJ. So
I'm sure the UK is completely, they love this story, right, Terpster? This is the top story on every newspaper, if they still have newspapers
there.
There was some
stuff about Libya somewhere,
yeah.
But most of it was mainly just AT&T. Again, we don't have it over here, but like a lot of things, we wouldn't mind it. So, it's just wondering what that's going to mean for us.
It's a little known fact that the United States is obsessed with the royal family, and the UK is obsessed with United States telecoms.
AT&T. Yeah. We just love any of your cellular networks. You know, there's some really cool ones. And like I was saying earlier, I mean, Sprint, that's what Jack Bauer uses. So I'd love that. You know, if I could have Jack Bauer's network, I would be awesome every time. You know, someone phones me up, I'd be like, Chloe, I need the blueprints. They wouldn't know that I was on Sprint, but every time that would make it special for me. So, I think we do long for the American networks.
All right, on to some HP news. The webOS Global Business Unit is being split into two units that will report to different HP divisions. So it's shedding a little bit more light on how they're intending to work this out. So webOS software business is being moved inside HP's Office of Strategy and Technology. They call it OS&T, which is headed up by Shane Robeson, who's HP's Executive Vice President, Chief Strategy and Technology Officer. WebOS Hardware Group remains within the Personal Systems Group under Stephen DeWitt, so they actually don't really move anywhere, which is HP's formal name for the personal computer business, which has been talked about being spun off into a separate company. We've obviously talked about this before, but these are new details on how HP intends to move people around. It sounds like the hardware group, I don't know, either they'll get reabsorbed into the company doing other things. I don't know if this makes it easier if they end up sort of folding that division later on because the software people are now moved away. But I don't know. Does this make sense to you?
Not particularly, because it sounds a lot like what happened with Palm. I mean,
right.
Palm was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our software business, we're going to spin it off, and we're going to call that, I think, Palm Source. And our hardware company would be Palm One. And so we'll have our businesses really, really go really well. So what's going to happen, though, if history repeats itself, HP will buy themselves again, because that's how Palm ended up.
Right. So anybody who says, doesn't this sound like something Palm did back in 2003? Yes, in fact, Palm One hardware division merged with Handspring. And then Palm Source didn't really go anywhere, ended up being bought by XS, went Linux, didn't really go anywhere. And if HGB is trying, it's just weird. It's like, it doesn't mean that HP is going to have no success at all, but they are trying to get away from the issue of licensing software, which they're obviously very interested in doing with WebOS, and not making competing hardware, which is why they've shut down their hardware division. And anybody who thinks, well, maybe because the touchpad has become such a runaway hit because they ended up selling it for almost free, I don't think they're going to change their mind about that.
It was a good deal, though. So, you know, if there are any left in a store near you, you can pick them up for next to nothing. I mean, admittedly, they're not that great for much now. But still, you know, it's not bad for something.
It also sounds like the Office of Strategy and Technology is the right place for anybody who's in software development at HP right now. Emails that have been published from I think it was Stephen DeWitt and then Shane Robeson, just letting employees know what's happening, where we're going, why they decided to do this. It sounds like it makes a lot of sense for the software people to have a lot of access to the rest of the technology and strategy division, which is working on all sorts of things.
Well, back when HP made its blundered press releases, no one really knew where WebOS was going. It could have been part of the personal systems group, which would make it pretty simple for the hardware company to make WebOS tablets and devices again. But then again, now finding this out, WebOS staying with what would be HP's, the Office of Strategy and Technology. Theoretically, this company that spins out the personal systems group could license WebOS if they wanted to. And HP has been, they said this to me back when I was a reporter a long time ago. They've been doing software for a very long time. They can do this kind of thing. And what they're hoping is that if they continue to develop this WebOS, that not just their old personal systems group will use them, but a lot of different companies will hopefully use the same operating system, assuming HP makes it viable. And with that real nice deal, they've installed, 500,000 of these devices out there already.
I'm just interested in what the personal systems group is going to look like in a few months. It's hard to say right now. Well,
printers.
Some of you, well, they actually did mention that too.
Lots of printers.
We've got printers. All right, a RIM investor has called for possibly the sale of the company or patents. This probably sounds familiar. Actually, it is sort of a familiar story. Back in June, Northwestern Ethical Investments had asked to split the roles of chairman and CEO, which of course are shared by co-CEOs Jim Balsillie and Mike Lazaridis. So Vic Elbioni now, who is chief executive of Merchant Bank Jaguar Financial Group, who happens to be an investor in RIM, said in an interview with Bloomberg that RIM needs to create a committee made of independent directors. We've got to take this outside to evaluate potential strategic options, which sounds a lot like sell things. Now, he said in the interview, he's not the only one who thinks this is the right way to go. He has the support of several other shareholders who haven't been named, but collectively, here's the issue, hold less than 5% of RIM's outstanding shares. So they could squawk a lot about this, but RIM doesn't, less than 5% is not enough. I don't know. Not enough power, I think, to make them do anything.
The question is whether all the squawking will get other investors also angry in the long run. But then again, we've seen the co-CEOs basically turn a blind eye anytime somebody speaks with, some kind of reason. You know, like, hey, maybe you want to get your business back in order. And they're like, no, everything's going fine. You've lost like 80% of your value.
Right.
No, we're fine. So, I mean, would RIM be better off by breaking itself up and just calling it a day? I mean, I don't know if that's, it's too soon for that.
Well, I also think because intellectual property is a big deal with wireless right now, then anybody who's an investor would love to see some patents being sold and them getting some money out of that. Go ahead, Terpstra.
Yeah, I saw only on the news the other day that Google bought some patents, and everyone loves patents right now. They're like the next big thing. I can't wait. I'm waiting to like open a magazine and see like Paris Hilton's got a new patent or something like that. And I think everyone's going to be going patent crazy. And it just seems like people have realized, you know, why innovate when you can just buy someone's patents and own other people's stuff.
If you wait long enough, RIM is going to be worth about $1 a share. So I mean, I don't know. So maybe that's why these investors.
I think that's also the investors are like, listen, things aren't really on the up and up right now. So why don't we take into consideration what our options are now? Well, we've got stuff that we can sell people that is worth something. All right, RIM. You keep things interesting.
It's like watching a train wreck right now. I mean, these guys are like saying, hey, the investors are just saying, you got to try anything, something to make the investors money.
Right.
And if it's sell off your business, go do it.
Like, hey, guys, there's some lead on the roof. Should we go up there? I can strip that lead off. And I know a guy who'll give us a good, a good price for that lead. Should we do that? Yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, come on, let's get some money. You know, Shoelaces. We've all got shoelaces. Let's sell our shoelaces.
I just want to know how many RIM investors need to say, listen, RIM, you got to rethink some of the stuff. Let's see what our options are. Let's sell us some stuff before anything changes. Because Vic Albione is not the first. I mean, we keep talking about this. People from within the RIM circle saying, this is not being run the right way, guys.
Yeah, we've seen like major shareholders drop their shares entirely of RIM because this company, they're kind of dumbfounding investors.
Right. All right, we're going to move on to some latest news in the DigiNotar attack, among other stories. But first, we want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of TNT. If you're not familiar with Squarespace, go to squarespace.com because it gives you a really good idea for how to use, build and use a really high-quality website or a blog. We don't want to call it a blog because that's just one of the things that Squarespace will allow you to do. You can, you know, you have beautiful photo galleries. You can, if you're a real social media person, you can have really cool Flickr or Twitter widgets, just to name a couple. Squarespace is optimized for people who know nothing about CSS, who are like, I just want to set up a blog. I don't even want to think about it. I just want it to look nice with absolutely no effort on my part. Or, you know, maybe you're an expert. Maybe you really have a custom design that you want to bring to life. Squarespace is good for pretty much everybody. They have iPhone and iPad apps for updating your blog on the go. I'm a Squarespace user, and I love their iPad app. In fact, I use a lot of comment moderation. I almost prefer it on my iPad because, I don't know, I get a good feeling when I kind of zap stuff that I don't
it's
want.
It's a magical device, exactly. When you actually poke someone out of existence, you're like, yeah. I like that. Power. Yeah. That's what that is.
Right.
I like Squarespace as well. I think what I like more are people who don't know how easy Squarespace is, because you show them your website and they're like, oh my God, did you make that? And you're like, yeah, I made that. They're like, that's amazing. And you're like, you know, it was like six clicks, but they don't know that. And
exactly.
They think you're really good.
Right. And so you say, thanks so much. Yeah, I've really been investing heavily in CSS.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big deal. So there's a blog module. If you're already a WordPress user or a Blogger user, one of those other blogs, Squarespace makes it really easy to import. So if you spend a lot of time on another blog service, don't worry. You can bring everything over to Squarespace. You don't have to lose anything. You don't have to, you know, spend several months trying to, I don't know, make your pictures import correctly. And they won't keep your information hostage either. There's a nice export option as well. So that gives you a sense of how confident Squarespace is that they're the right service for you. What I particularly like with them is they give you really good stats. Their backend is great. I have a really good idea of who's coming to my site, where they're coming from, what time of day people like to come. Yeah, all that good stuff. So Squarespace, we couldn't love them more. We thank them so much for sponsoring this episode of TNT. And there's a special, because there always is with us, 10% off your new account for 6 months. At squarespace.com. If you use the offer code TNT8, that's the number 8.
Nine.
Sorry. It's September.
That's fine.
TNT9. Don't listen to me. Listen to Ayaz.
Occasionally.
Thanks to Squarespace. All right. So now we're coming to your favorite story of the day.
Yeah, the lightest story that we will cover
this
all day.
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay. So a hacker who calls himself the Komodo hacker has claimed credit for the DigiNotar attack that we covered a couple times last week. Mm-hmm. So again, more light is being shed on what exactly happened.
Right. So what we have is a Pastebin post from the guy who under the account Komodo Hacker. Obviously, he says he also did the Komodo hack a couple of, I guess it was earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's a 21-year-old Iranian student. And if you remember, DigiNotar was issuing certificates to a whole bunch of companies that weren't Google.com and addons.mozilla.com. So basically, people could intercept all kinds of data, and that was a real problem. Now, there's a lot more data that we keep getting as the day kept going on. We have, according to the chief executive of Komodo, he said the DigiNotar attack, they think, is a state-sponsored attack. And Trend Micro has concluded that Iran is behind the attacks to spy on Iranian users. So it's Iran theoretically spying on itself. And it's the real question is, what was the motivation?
Meta.
Yeah, it's kind of meta. On top of that, in the Pastebin document, the hacker claims that he was doing this as retribution for the Dutch military's failure to protect
Srebrenica
during the Bosnian War.
Right, this is sort of a genocide situation back in 1995 where over 8,000 Bosnian Muslims were killed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, which is strange because, okay, so this is like, okay, Dutch company, this is retaliation against the Dutch, but it ends up being a bunch of Iranian civilians who have had their they're security compromised. So I guess it's not really much different than a lot of the other hacking attacks where it ends up being normal people who have all their passwords and names out there, but it's against the company who didn't do a good enough job of keeping things tight and locked down.
Yeah, it looks like over 300,000 Iranians have had their email compromised, and the hackers weren't just looking at Google, by the way. There's also intelligence agencies like sys.gov.uk, cia.gov, and I think MI6 is also involved in this.
Yeah, it's a tough story.
Yeah,
and we were doing some research before the show, and it's like, oh man, I mean, you almost have it. The first question is this guy or girl, a woman or man, telling the truth? I mean, is this really the person that was responsible for all of this?
Right, because the pay spin says he's one person acting alone, and Komodo thinks it's a state-sponsored attack.
Exactly.
Trend Micro also agrees with that, so it's really hard to tell what exactly is going on.
Yeah, the first question is what really happened, and if you believe these various stories, then do you even believe their reasons for their motives? So yeah, it's a complicated situation, but definitely worth reading up on because it's, you know, we should know what happens eventually. All right, moving on to television. Well, the next generation of television, anyway. Hulu. Who's going to buy Hulu anyway? Because it looks like DirecTV has dropped out of the race to buy Hulu. So who's left? DirecTV is out. So who do we have left now? Amazon, Yahoo, and Dish Network. Right. Those are the three. Companies that are still in the bidding process for Hulu. And Google.
That's right.
Now, so what is...
Now, we've heard that DirecTV's dropped out. That's according to the Financial Times. So Peter Kafka at All Things D was saying that Google's bidding on Hulu, but not as it stands. Because right now, Hulu's just, you know, selling ownership. Google apparently is offering a lot of money, but Kafka can't say exactly what extra they want. Now, the theory is that Google would want, like, maybe exclusive rights. Maybe they want to be able to continue to have access to these things longer than whatever deal Hulu is offering right now. So Google getting it would probably mean some kind of Hulu-YouTube integration, which is hard to say. Or the other favor right now is Amazon.
Well, and of course, Hulu CEO Jason Clare used to work at Amazon. So you have to assume that he and Jeff Bezos are probably chummy, and maybe they have a nice, in a perfect world scenario of the two companies getting together. Then there's Yahoo, and it's like, Yahoo, I don't know. No, it's sort of like this would make Yahoo be attractive to
people.
Maybe
for Yahoo to buy stuff that they have no idea what to do with, right?
or maybe could enhance the Yahoo brand. And then you've got Dish Network, and it's a little weird because we talked about what Bloomberg reported last week, which is that Dish is launching a subscription streaming service under a Blockbuster brand that's supposed to launch in October. And even have movies from Stars, and Stars just pulled out of Netflix. So you think, well, isn't Dish have their hands full already? But if you were to combine the two as a Blockbuster Hulu franchise.
I just dropped that Blockbuster name. Nobody wants that.
I know. I don't know why they want to keep the Blockbuster name either.
Hulu Buster.
Terpster, which business do you think should buy them? And what's going to benefit you guys worldwide?
I like Amazon buying it because Amazon have this fantastic track record of, you know, they sold books and then they introduced the Kindle and tried to basically make books extinct. And by buying Hulu, they can kind of get rid of a lot of kind of the need for DVDs and all that goes along with physical media in TV and film. So I would like to think that Amazon can try and destroy stuff. And we just have bits and bytes rather than things.
But then we've got this Google. Although that could be the new name of the service, Hulu. It's great.
Yeah.
We've got Google, sort of the dark horse, saying, listen, we want totally different terms than what you'd like to offer, but we'll pay you more.
I would love Google.
We have all the money in the world.
I mean,
last thing, yeah.
Because Hulu was supposed to kill YouTube. And for Google to end up buying Hulu would be like this kind of this poetic justice of, yeah, you didn't kill us. We just bought you out. And we're just going to enjoy this on YouTube.
That would be good.
Hootube. Yulu. I don't know.
I think Gulu is the...
Gulu.
Gulu is the winner. He said it by accident. I think that's the winner.
Coming to a horror movie near you. Gulu. All right, let's move on to a bit of a rumor mill. Terpstra, you must love that rumor mill because we spell it in that funny way that you guys spell it over there.
Yeah, do you not spell that way normally? You don't bother with the U?
No, we try to
keep one U in it.
Yeah.
You don't have two in it.
Why use a keystroke you just don't need? We're busy people. All right, so
we're more personal though. We like to put you in the center of a lot of our words.
Oh yeah. Right. Rumors.
Just like you're in our hearts.
You and our souls. iPhone 5 reservation coupons are coming from Deutsche Telekom today. Deutsche Telekom says this is in anticipation of supply bottlenecks.
So that means
what
first
could
of all,
it mean?
T-Mobile doesn't have. I mean, this is the company that owns T-Mobile. T-Mobile doesn't technically have the iPhone yet, so that pretty much confirms that. I think. You think it's happening? T-Mobile iPhone?
Why? Well, I mean, if this is in Germany, then the iPhone 5 is coming, right?
Yeah, and it'll be out SIM-free as well, so they can just buy them in bulk and then sell them on. Genius. Quid's in.
Yeah, I'll go with this. Sure. That sounds great.
Plus, I'm also doing iPhone 5 vouchers. So if you want to just give me... They're $700, but just send me $700. I'll send you the voucher. And then once the iPhone comes out, you get one.
Best Buy is now jumping on board with this whole iPhone 5 thing by preparing to take pre-orders for a Sprint-compatible iPhone 5 beginning sometime this month. This is according to Boy Genius Report, with availability set for the first week of October. So people are like, what? Oh my gosh, iPhone Sprint, it's really happening. Best Buy confirms, I can't believe it. But then a source within Best Buy told Mac Rumors that no, people are reading this all wrong. This October 21st fixtures are for iPads, not iPhone 5. These are for displays. The leaked calendar is actually for an iPad display, and people are just reading this information wrong. They just want to show off more iPad units.
There's more, because the Sprint lawsuit against to stop the whole merger with AT&T T-Mobile, so that's hard to say. All those T's there.
I know. It is, yeah.
Apparently, it suggests that Sprint will be getting the iPhone, so... Best Buy is either telling the truth or lying, or they don't have any idea what's going on. So Sprint probably getting the iPhone.
Could there be sources within Best Buy saying to Mac Rumors, no, this is not about the iPhone, but secretly knowing that it is?
But is that just the guys on the Geek Squad? Like, when they say sources within Best Buy...
Exactly.
I just imagine it's like, you know, the guy who works on a Sunday, and he's like, oh, guys, no, it's totally about the iPad. And, you know, he doesn't have any idea. He's just, you know, no one knows. No one has a clue.
Or just somebody random in the Best Buy. It doesn't even have to be somebody that works there. Sources in a Best Buy.
It's like if I go to Best Buy and someone says, what do you think this is going to be, iPhone? I say, yeah,
sure.
I do. And I'm wearing a blue shirt, and they don't know the difference. They think I work there. Another rumor mill. This is the one that won't ever die. Hey, is Apple going to launch a TV set? Wouldn't that be neat? Boy, I think they're probably going to do that.
It's going to happen. I think so.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay.
Just because it won't go away. This rumor won't go away. I'm going to say it's happening.
Is it going to happen in the next 6 months?
Yes. In our lifetimes.
I don't know if your lifetime will go beyond 6 months, Terpster, but...
I don't know.
I hear you're
my liver
old.
Won't, but I'm going to do a Steve Jobs. So if anyone out there has any money or doesn't, then they can exchange their liver for money. So get in contact.
So we have a TV set within 6 months. Mm-hmm. We have a TV set within Terpster's lifetime, which may or not be
but
very
hang
long.
On, though. Like, is it just people who see the words Apple TV and don't understand what an Apple TV is... And think, oh, they're making a TV.
Well, I think for a lot of people, it's the next logical step. Because right now, for example, I could watch Netflix through my Apple TV. But I can also watch Netflix through my TV because my TV has a variety of widgets. So if you've got an Apple OS inside your TV and you don't have a need for a box and it gives a nice seamless experience... then that's better for Apple because it's not some sort of an add-on device to, you know, maybe a cable subscription that people are already tied to. You get more used to having a TV that's Apple branded through and through.
Yeah. But I just find that they're all about the mobile stuff at the moment. Like, you see less and less static equipment from Apple. You know, their biggest business is their mobile division. You know, all of the iPhone and the iPad and the iPods and all of that. I just can't see them needing a TV. I use a TV less than ever, thanks to Apple.
Well, people didn't need an iPad either. That's the whole thing. I don't think need is the operative word in this thing at all. Because that's Apple.
So it's going to be aluminium.
Exactly.
glass, and I'm going to want it.
It's just okay. So. The weird thing is, I don't know how people don't just think, okay, if the iMac gets really big, mm-hmm. it's a TV. At some point, it becomes a TV. At 27 inches, it's almost a TV already.
Right.
If you put a different skin on the OS, it's the same thing. So the reason why I keep thinking this is going to happen is because Steve Jobs has said it like several times. First, Apple TV is a hobby, and nobody wants a set-top box. So Steve Jobs is all about eliminating stuff, buttons, and now set-top boxes will somehow magically integrate into one.
Well, imagine, you know, when I first got the iPad, AirPlay was something that we talked a lot about, mm-hmm. but nothing really worked, and now it's like the new thing. I mean, I'm always sending a lot of stuff to my TV, but it's not a seamless process. It's kind of clunky still. So you can imagine that Apple would love to just be wherever you're watching your media, whether it's your iPhone, you know, in the mobile world, or your iPad somewhere in the middle, your TV. You don't need all of that extra stuff.
Is it going to look like those display iPads they have in their stores in the windows? You know, those massive fake iPads? Because I've gone in there several times asking to buy one, and they keep
That's probably what caused the demand.
Right? Well, exactly. They're probably like, hang on, this guy wants them. I wonder how many others. Let's call it ITV.
Round out the Apple rumor mill, are they going to put USB 3.0 alongside Thunderbolt in future Macs? There's a report that says that prices for USB 3 host controllers are at an all-time low. They're around $2 to $3 a piece when bought in bulk, and in comparison, it's about $10 to $15 for a Thunderbolt chip. So, quite a bit less expensive, slower, but kind of a good deal. It's almost like, is Apple just silly not to grab this while the getting's good?
They're not going
to
do it. I mean, they took how long to put SD cards in the SD card slots in machines? They're not adding USB 3.0.
No,
nope,
not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Terpster, what do you think? Going to happen?
Well, Thunderbolt's a much better name, so that instantly makes it a preferable connectivity source. And Apple have this weird heritage of, like, they had FireWire, they still have FireWire, even though no one really uses FireWire. I mean, I guess professionals in the video industry do, but they put it on everything anyway. So, yeah, I can't see them putting USB 3 on there, because until it becomes more mainstream. So I'm not saying never, because obviously they'll replace USB 2 with USB 3 eventually, but I don't think for ages, not for ages.
Yeah, I agree with you. Apple has a hard time. Once they've got momentum, I could just see Apple say, no, it's Thunderbolt. That's what it is.
And that being really said, in Europe, they've signed up to the whole, we're going to charge our iPhones using mini USB. So maybe they want to. Maybe they'll transition to just USBs in the future. Who knows?
Terpster, this is kind of awkward, but you've got
a thing growing,
sort of a growth coming out of your your monitor.
Oh my gosh!
This has never happened to us before. I'm so terribly sorry.
Shouldn't you guys move on to the news for you so I can get the frame rate?
Yes, I should.
Hang on. So, is he just avoiding the show because of me? Because this is...
We were under the impression that Tom was on an airplane. He wouldn't be able to get here in time. We were feeling that day of travel. Poor Tom. Tom's hanging out here. He's probably been in the kitchen eating chocolate all day. Thanks for nothing, Merritt.
I think I spotted a daiquiri in his hands.
I think I smelled a daiquiri on his breath. All right, let's move on to the news.
Get a backhandery if he does that.
Two people in Mexico may be facing up to 30 years in prison because of their tweets. The two posted messages that said kidnapping and shootouts were occurring near Veracruz schools, which sparked a citywide panic, obviously. Many people ran to schools to save their children. However, there were no shootings or kidnappings, and now the two face charges of terrorism and sabotage. Amnesty International says the arrest violates freedom of expression.
In news that will surprise few, the NPAA and RIAA attempted to infiltrate file-sharing sites, according to a document released by WikiLeaks. The industry groups came up with the strategy to leak music before the release dates to build trust with Where Seen to get access to its servers. So if you were paranoid about all those files that may be RIAA, well, you were right.
Amazon's latest gadget has a touchscreen and probably weighs, a couple hundred pounds.
100.
Amazon has installed a delivery locker at a 7-Eleven store in Seattle. The unit has around 40 drawers, and Amazon would deliver your purchases into the locker. You'd pick up your order by entering a PIN. So no more missed packages. It's like a safety deposit box-ish.
I like it. No more stupid little tags saying you missed something.
Yeah.
Steven Sinofsky wrote over 1,000 words defending Microsoft's decision to include the ribbon in the Windows 8 interface. He says that, quote, "The dislike of the ribbon is most intense in the audience of this blog," but notes that the vast majority are pleased with the ribbon interface. Sinofsky pretty much is just saying you can't please everybody all the time.
No one likes the ribbon. No one liked it. It never has been liked. They're just saying it because they like it. You know, I'm sure, you know, in every measurable metric,
you just said nobody
better.
Does. So somebody must. Yeah.
Somebody likes the must. Ribbon. Focus and I want that person to stand up.
But every measure, I'm sure, is a better interface for whatever reason you want to come up with. But nobody likes the ribbon. It's confusing and it changes. You know, I'm trying to find something. It's not where it was in 1997. What the hell, Windows? What the hell?
Well, we have some ribbon lovers in chat, so I knew you guys were out there somewhere. Be proud of the ribbon. It's for you, I guess. Over the weekend, several sites, including UPS, the Daily Telegraph, and the Register, were hacked. If you went to any of those sites, you got a graphic with a message proclaiming September 4th as World Hackers Day, and hacking is not a crime in leet speak. The hackers changed the DNS records of the sites. Now they look back to normal, so tee-hee, Labor Day lulls.
Sony just hired former U.S. National Cybersecurity Center Director Philip Redinger as Senior Vice President. In case you have a really short memory, Sony's PSN was the subject of a massive security breach. Of the hire, a spokesperson for Sony said, certainly the network issue was a catalyst for the appointment.
Last week, Microsoft was hit with a lawsuit claiming that Windows Phone 7 was transmitting location data without users' permission. On Monday, Microsoft officially responded by denying these claims and says the company is investigating. Microsoft says it values its customers' privacy and that any data on Windows Phone can't be connected to a particular user or device. Not surprising.
The much-anticipated Groupon IPO may be delayed, according to the Wall Street Journal, citing a person familiar with the matter. Groupon may not be so gung-ho about going public because of stock market volatility. The source also said Groupon's original plan was to issue an IPO in mid-September, but that's on hold for now.
Well, the problem with that, though, as well, is that if you just wait a while, Groupon's actually going to have an offer on Groupon where you can get, like, 3 shares for the price of 1. So it's worth just holding back on that.
Finally, Reddit and Condé Nast are breaking up. Yeah, it's Splitsville for the two. Condé Nast has decided to spin off Reddit as its own company, but will own the entirety of the new company. So the theory is that Reddit is going to be able to grow in a way that it couldn't under the dark and sinister umbrella of Condé Nast. Now, that those are just my words. Condé Nast isn't actually dark and sinister. But Reddit couldn't grow if the current setup was maintained. So Reddit is going to gain its own board of directors, which includes Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. Kind of reminds me of another story in the news right now, but different.
Spinoffs are all the rage.
Yeah. And finally, the randomizer.
Randomizer.
I keep saying finally as if our show is ending, but we just have more things to talk about.
And there's after finally. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Finally.
Finally, but
another
not really.
Finally.
Ayaz, do you think you have the exercise gene?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
Exorcise?
No, you know, like
or
running.
Exercise, okay. I was going to say, I've never
the
seen
power
Ayaz exorcise the
you.
Demons.
Researchers at McMaster University say they've been able to possibly find an answer to why some people seem to have all the energy in the world and they can run marathons and they want to get up in the morning and exercise, and other people just don't have it in them. There may be a key gene that's linked to exercise. The McMaster team was working with mice. Some of the mice had 2 genes removed, and the genes controlled the AMP-activated protein. It's an enzyme that's released during exercise. And mice like to run, but the mice without the genes were not as active as the mice with the genes.
With sweatpants.
Now, if we... Right, exactly. When you're wearing sweatpants, you're just not active.
Exactly. You're
it's
just like,
it's very similar to humans.
I need my exercise jeans on if I'm going to do some motion. But I am wearing the sweatpants. I am sitting down.
I went ahead and voted at this article at cbc.ca. And I said, no, I don't think I have the exercise gene, just to get to the poll results. And most people say, no, we do not believe we have the exercise gene because we're lazier than we should be. That was about 38%. 27% said, yes, I think I do. 16% weren't sure. And 17% said, I don't think there's such a thing as the exercise gym. But I think it's a great excuse.
I wasn't born that way. Forget it.
Right, yeah.
Takes time to get
this. Don't have the exercise gene. What do you want me to do? It's out of my hands.
I always dealt a tough hand, really. You know, I'm big boned.
Right.
And I don't have the exercise gene.
It's not your fault at that point.
It was never my fault. That's the brilliant thing about, you know, advances in science, really, is each day they discover another excuse for me. And for that, I thank them. Cheers.
All right, let's move on to the calendar. Bill Kunkel, who's the original gaming journalist, has died at the age of 61. If you're not familiar with him, he was a big deal. He had the first regular column about games called Arcade Alley in Video Magazine way back in 1978. In 1981, he and two of his partners founded Electronic Games, which was the very first magazine devoted to games. So I know a lot of gamers are sad to see Bill go. On Monday,
I would have my gravestone insert coin I would like that. That'd be good.
That's a good one.
Obviously, no one would. And because, you know, all games are filled with zombies these days. So who wants another? Be silly.
Oh, hey, Tom. It's nice to see you again. What you got there?
What do you have there?
Getting my mail.
Oh, okay.
Is this Mr. Rogers' neighbor?
Maybe you were bringing me some sort of a mimosa.
I thought he was going to turn me off.
Vacation's over, buddy. I don't know what world you're living in. The rest of us actually work for a living.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Yes, everyone can see Tom's drink. Get out of here. On Monday, Netflix rolled out its service to Brazil, which is just the beginning of a huge rollout to 43 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean by September 12th. Terpster, you might want to think of relocating to maybe a nice warm island and getting,
getting some Netflix. We've got terrible currency over here. Don't bring your streaming service to us. What would we do with it?
Right.
Oh, terrible. In all fairness, though, it's another reason to go to Brazil.
That's right.
Good.
Yeah, Brazil, lovely country, and now they have Netflix.
Nice weather, Netflix, no excuse.
Starting today, BlackBerry App World 3.0 is available for BlackBerry OS 7 devices. Thursday, September 8th, the BlackBerry Torch 9850, that's the one with the 3.7-inch touchscreen and 1.2 gigahertz Snapdragon processor, is going to become available on Verizon's online store. It'll be $200, and then brick-and-mortar stores get it on the 15th. On to the email, tnt@twit.tv.
We got an email from Andrew, and he wanted to give us a point of view about the T-Mobile AT&T merger, basically calling it a monopoly on GSM coverage, because in the United States, AT&T and T-Mobile are the only two companies that have GSM. And if the two companies merge, they're going to have the monopoly on GSM. Even this is going to affect not just the United States people, but everybody who comes in with GSM phones. And he discusses an example with the three mobile carriers in Australia. And that all works fine because they all have GSM. You can swap your phones. But that will totally change things if this merger goes through. So thank you, Andrew.
So that's actually that's a side of the story that we didn't cover earlier in the show. And it's a pretty valid argument.
Although theoretically, if everybody moves to LTE, even though they're incompatible bands, it's all awful anyway.
Terpster, what do you think? If you have a GSM phone GSM.
And all right. So whenever I come to the US, I get put on either T-Mobile or AT&T. Mm-hmm. And it really makes no difference to me because my phone switches between whatever's there and decides to charge me just an exorbitant amount of money. So either way, I get screwed. So if this buyout meant that they did a deal and I didn't have to pay so much, then brilliant. I would be for it. But I don't think either way it makes any difference to anyone traveling in.
Well, you heard it from a guy in
Except for the logo. The logo in the top left-hand corner of your iPhone, if they did go through with it, it would only ever say AT&T.
Right. And which one do you prefer? T-Mobile takes a little bit more screen real estate.
It does. Yeah, it does, true. Exactly. And
so that's something to think about.
It has nice caps. You know, T-Mobile, they have the T and the M.
Fewer caps.
Right, the AT&T is really bold in your face yelling at you, AT&T, you know?
All right, second email from Florian Bear. Hi, TNT crew. I noticed recently you talk a lot about Netflix and how Europe doesn't have video streaming. I'd like to clarify some things. It may seem from an American standpoint as if Europe is just one big market like the U.S. is. And while this may be true for some manufacturing and big corporations, it's not true for customer services and products. Every country has developed its own set of brands before it was possible for corporations to expand to other European countries. So just as important is the fact that a lot of different languages are spoken in Europe, which makes it difficult, especially in movies and TV, to be a European company. Then he goes on to explain current situation, streaming situation in Germany. We've got two big streaming video services, Maxdome and Telekom Entertain. Maxdome is very similar to Netflix. And episodes of TV shows are usually available for streaming 1 week before the air. Entertain, on the other hand, is a complete internet TV via set-top box. All channels come through your broadband. You can use it as a DVR and also access their video on demand services. He says both services have their problems, but it's not like we're living in the Stone Age. Well, Florian, we know that. I hope we don't make it seem like we think Europe is living in the Stone Age at all.
I thought they were in the Bronze Age, at least.
Bronze Age, yeah, definitely.
Bronze Age.
We've started to shape metals, and you know, we've got some pretty pointy ones, so watch out. You know.
But thanks, Florian. It's always it's nice for us to be reminded how some things are structured, particularly in Germany. So thank you so much for that. We want to thank everyone who contributed to our subreddit, Tech News Today at .reddit.com, rather. This is where you can submit stories or just vote stories up and down and help us pick our lineup every day. Siddharthasani, The Moak, Z-Golf, Psych1, Lord Necron, Pat Factor X, Capt Kipper. You're always in there. Capt Kipper.
You're getting upvotes. I'm going to upvote you all.
And everybody else, thank you so much for contributing. We really love your input. It helps us know what you want to hear about. Terpster, thanks so much for joining us. Now, you haven't said anything about what's going on tomorrow.
Your own personal calendar, if you will.
Tomorrow is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, I mean, the thing is I had a word with Obama, and what we did is we rolled it into Labor Day. So I don't know if that was communicated properly for you guys, but you're welcome. You know, you got that day off yesterday, but tomorrow is the actual birthday.
Wonderful.
So yeah, it's gonna be very special. On Twitter, please use the code Happy Birthday, and you'll get 100% off. Respect from me. So yeah, thank you.
Yes, definitely go to twitter.com/the_T to send Terpster all your birthday wishes. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's always good fun.
All right. Tomorrow's guest, Ryan Block of GDGT.com, is going to be joining us. That is it for this edition of TNT. 260-TNT shows, the number. TNT@twit.tv is the email address. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Tom will be back, even though he's already
more
here.
More so than today.
Not drinking.
He might be
less drunk.
At merit. This was a show with merit.